And hi, everybody. I'm Rick Dancer. Welcome to Get Real with Rick Dancer. Oh, in this episode, we have a great topic for you. I think all of us are kind of wondering what might happen in 2024. And obviously, no one can tell you for sure what's going to happen. But there's some indicators out there right now that the housing market is looking better. Interest rates, it appears, might come down. So I thought, let's bring in Greg Henkel with Fairway Independent Mortgage Company. And he's got a friend, Ryan Underwood, who's a realtor in Butte, Montana. And he's going to come in and talk with us too. But there's a lot of stuff about this I want to know. So I'm going to do a whole show about this so you guys can kind of find out more about what is involved. And that's just kind of part of the process. We are sponsored by Chris Dental, Family Dentistry out of Eugene, Oregon. If you care about your civil liberties and your dental work, this man is the guy for you. He is a big pro-freedom guy. I just wrote a new promo for him that is so funny because we're talking about people who are in business that stand up for what they believe in. And they're rare and hard to find. And Dr. Bratlin is the guy. Last month, 14 people went to him from watching our podcast. So he's pretty happy. Our other sponsor is the man you're going to meet in just a second, Fairway Independent Mortgage. Greg Henkel is from Oregon, from Washington. He knows about Idaho, and now he's here in Montana out of Helena, and he can help you figure out our barber. We go to the same barber. Well, I introduced him, so of course he goes to the same barber, but we go to the same barber, and one day I go to get my haircut, and my barber goes, Greg was telling me about all these other plans. I didn't think I could afford to get into a house. And he starts telling me about these other plans that are out there. I had no idea. So that's kind of what we do with Get Real with Rick Dancer, is connect people to other people. Our other sponsor is Montana Oral Surgeons and Implant Center out of Helena, Montana. They're also in Great Falls, Bozeman, and they have offices in Butte as well. And tonight, a little bit later in the show, I'm going to have their expert on insurance come in. I won't tell you what I had done because that's a little embarrassing. Let's just say it had to do with urology and a scope. And they put it in a place, well, you know, I think you can get it. So they threw the scope away when we're done. I looked in the garbage and I'm going, I think I should probably take that home because I'm not like I'm going to use it again. But I mean, I wonder how much that cost. So I had no idea. I get my bill, $905 for that. And it wasn't even the problem. So I got scoped and doped and duped, and I didn't get that. At Montana Oral Surgeons, you will never have that happen to you. She's going to talk about how they do that. They tell you upfront what's going to happen. And I think that's a really good thing. So anyway, Greg, that's way more information than you needed. And Ryan, I'm sure you're going, good God, who is this man?
What I want to know is, what are you doing going to an oral surgeon for a urology issue?
No, I didn't go to the oral surgeon for it. You got the story. Because I was confused. Wow. You right out of the boat. You're punching, aren't you? Because he knows Ryan and I may just gang up on him. So
not Ryan, may, we will.
We will.
Well, so, okay, so first of all, Ryan, thanks for joining us. And I've got to get a legal disclaimer out of the way. Ryan is with Keller Williams in Butte. And so legal disclaimer, Ryan and I do work together occasionally. And which is why I asked him to come on and kind of bring some of his expertise with this discussion, too.
And Greg is a regular client, regular customer. And so it's the first time we've met Ryan. And Butte, for you guys who are in Oregon, from Helena to Butte is about, what, 2 hours, guys, you think?
No, about 45 minutes.
What is it?
45 minutes.
Oh, I'm in Townsend. That's why it's farther for me. I have to go all the way around the loop to get there. But Ryan, you know what? I really like Butte.
And
what people don't understand, I think, it always has a reputation as being a rough town. And I don't see that at all. I see it being a really cohesive. They've been dealing with diversity from the mining days when you had Asians and Indians and Irish and everybody working together in the mine. And you can't be racist when you need each other to save your lives, you know? And I And I think that kind of translates into what's going on in Butte today. And I mean, and property, oh my God. I mean, we stayed in an Airbnb that this couple from Anaconda bought, and they're just buying up property, beautiful old historic properties, and making them into really modern, cool places to stay. I love it.
Yep, there's quite a few of those. Butte's always been a very diverse town, a very blue collar town. There's still mining that goes on today. We've got the pit mine here in town, and it produces molybdenum. Copper is one of the major things that it's always been famous for. You know, Butte back in the day, early 1900s, was one of the largest cities this side of the Mississippi. So it's been a very, has produced a very lot of copper that came out of Butte over the years.
And Butte has the largest historic downtown district in the country. I mean, it's huge. And there are beautiful historic buildings. And we went to a restaurant there one time and walked in, and I knew I was in heaven. It was an Irish pub downtown. And when the lady sat down at my table and said, "Okay, hon, what do you want?" And I said, "What should I have?" And she goes, "Well, don't have this. I had it earlier and I didn't like it." I went, "Oh my God, I have gone to heaven here." So the reason we have you guys on is I was listening to the radio the other day and I heard that something about interest rates, something about Jerome Powell. This is not my area of expertise, but what do you guys kind of see? And either one of you can take it on and have a conversation. I'm just going to throw questions in here and there. But I think a lot of people are on edge, kind of waiting, going, what is going to happen in 2024?
I'll turn that one over to Greg.
I think one of the things that came out yesterday, we watched the Feds make a really, really big pivot in their stance. And I mean, the market was poised for them to pause on the raising of the Fed rate. The market had been poised for that for a week and a half. The bigger thing that came out of that yesterday was Jerome Powell's comments in the media coverage afterwards. And quite frankly, a lot of the media coverage was softball questions, but there was a guy that asked a question right near the end. Says, "Well, you know, when are we going to see rates go? What's coming in the future?" And Powell's response to that was very, very direct. And his response was, "We will stop raising rates before, or we will start lowering, cutting rates before we hit the 2% PCE. Now, the PCE is their core measurement of, it's the personal consumption expenditure measurement. And it's their core index for inflation. And we know that rates follow inflation. And I sent you a chart, Rick.
Which one do you want me to pull up?
It's the one that goes up. Yeah, it's a bar, a whole bunch of barcodes that goes up. We've been watching rates come down.
Since, is that really, it?
Yeah, that's the one. So you look at that trend line. That goes back to mid-October. We've been watching rates come down since we got that big spike that took us up to 8% when we got the bad jobs report that was corrected a few weeks after it came out. And so we've been on this trend headed down in rates since then. What we got on the 27th of November was the median house prices, and MSNBC CNN both were just like, "Oh my God, the sky's falling. House prices are dropping. We're going to see a crash in the market." Because the median house prices were showing that they were down. That they were down 10% year over year. Well, the interesting thing is if you look at that, what you're going to see is that red line is houses under 400,000. The blue line is houses over 400,000 and above. And what's happening is we're selling less high-priced houses and more 400 and below. So it's going to force that median house price down. The volume of houses that are being sold in that 400 and below range is really going through the roof. And Ryan, I think you can probably hit more on that than I can.
Yes. You know, so it has slowed down to some extent. Now, this time 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we're still exponentially higher. Stuff is moving quick. It's still somewhat of a seller's market.
Are you talking about right now, Ryan?
Yes, right now. Okay. You know, you look at a year ago, 6-9 months ago, stuff was moving quicker. It's got a few more days on market, which is great for my clients. You know, I hear time and time again, oh, it must be nice being a realtor in this kind of market. In all actuality, no, it's not. It makes my job that much harder because when I go into a contract for a client of mine now compared to, say, 12 months ago, 14 months ago, 14 months ago, I may be writing 6 or 8 different contracts because people were bidding above the asking price for the home. And how much higher, nobody knows until you get either that acceptance, that accept, deny, or a counteroffer from the listing agent. Generally speaking, I work with buyers. I do list homes and I love to list homes, but I also love to work with buyers. That's more my cup. I've got a great team behind me. And so there's a lot of times that listing agents I'll give to a team member of mine here in the office that we work hand in hand with, Nancy. I just like working with buyers, and that's.
So I never thought about that, Ryan, because if you like, when Kathy and I came here, we bid on seven homes. Mm-hmm. Yep. In different areas, and we got the last one. So I mean, it was like my realtor had to write up offers, and you know, and some of them you'd hit the, you know, just pay full price. Somebody else would come in with the $100,000 more. Yep. What a waste of time, you know.
I'm going to fight for my clients all day long, but yes, it gets very taxing, and my clients at times get discouraged. I use a lot of different tricks that we've have as realtors, as far as escalation clauses, as far as many different areas, to try and give my clients the best possible shot of winning that bidding process as possible.
So what you're saying is, though, now you don't, it's more, there's the prices are still up and the houses are moving, but they're moving slower. So you're not having 5 people come in at one day and going, bam, where you're bidding against all those people, your client has a better shot at it. And so somebody looking for a home is going to have a better shot than what we had was just crazy. I mean, you almost had to just overbid just to get even in the game.
Overbid. And there was numerous times where I'd sit out in front of that house or go to the office if it was close enough, depending on where the property was, and write up that offer right then. Now, you know, after having conversation with the listing agent and stuff like that prior to most of the time right now, I can say, okay, guys, think about this one. You know, this is a great house. Let's meet first thing tomorrow and let me know your thoughts. Where back 14 months ago, it wasn't. It was like, okay, we just got done with the showing 7 minutes ago and I need to know an answer. Do you want me to put in an offer? Because there's already 13 offers on the table. So we got to be creative. We need a pre-approval in hand to go with that. So I was always with Greg or other bankers saying, okay, we need to have this pre-approval ready to go directly after showing. So if they like it, I can submit an offer right now and get to them, because there's just not enough time.
Ryan, I think the great example of that is we just put a young couple, they're expecting their first baby. He was relocated up here by his employer, and we could put them in their first home. We closed on it last week, this week.
Yep.
And the fact is that we were able to put a 15-day closing in place because of the way we did their pre-approval, that the only thing that we needed to have underwriting sign off on was the appraisal. And so being able to walk into that transaction and go, had Ryan having the strength to walk into that transaction and go, you guys all good with the 15-day closing? it gave them a leg up to be able to be able to do that. And we timed it perfectly to have these kids in their first house before Christmas.
So, Greg, what can people expect? I mean, what was Powell saying about this 0.75 or the percentage point going down? I was on the radio and I didn't catch it clear enough.
So there's what's called a plot map that all of the Fed chairmen kind of put their dot on what they think will happen. Here's what we know. Here's what we know for sure. Jerome Powell was very, very clear. We're going to start the cuts before we hit that 2% PCE. That 2% inflation rate has been their magic marker for the last 18 months. And what the biggest fear in the market was is that they weren't going to start cutting until we got there. And then it's kind of like a train running into a wall. Well, Powell's finally backed off of that and said, we're going to soft land into that 2% marker. So there's that. It looks like right now he wouldn't, when he was asked, well, when can we expect cuts? He was kind of evasive. Vague.
A little vague.
Yeah, vague, evasive. His whole thing was there's enough variables in the market that we want to be careful of when we start pulling the trigger on that. But it would probably be somewhere near the first part of the spring. So anyway, we've got some indicators. And the biggest thing is as long as they're going to continue. So remember that Fed rate does not directly affect mortgage rates. What that Fed rate affects is credit card rates, car loans. It's an overnight borrowing rate that banks borrow money on. But because it's attached to the inflation, mortgage rates always follow inflation. So if inflation's coming up, mortgage rates are coming up. And the reason why is because people are moving to the treasury bonds. And so all of this is so interconnected. So we watch these inflation markers, and then we watch what the Feds do with these rates. And the bigger concern in the marketplace right now is still the unemployment numbers, and is, quite frankly, the credit card load that families are carrying right now. And so those are some fairly sizable variables. What they don't want to do is they don't want to run headlong back into quantitative easing. So we won't see those 3% rates. Again, those were artificially suppressed. Will we get down into the low sixes just by normal market movement? It's likely. It's a good possibility.
So, Ryan, what does that do for you? And more importantly, not that you're not important, but those people who are desperately trying to invest in a home because it's a great investment and they can't afford it right now. I mean, would that help the economy and see what happens in Butte and other places in Montana and Oregon and that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so I work all of Southwest Montana, and as those interest rates come down, their buying power goes up. So their buying power goes up. As the prices of homes have come up in the past several years, you don't get what you used to, obviously, for the same dollar. So that lets them buy a little bit more expensive house, and that could turn it into from a fixer-upper to a move-in ready, just having those interest rates come down and having their buying power go up. And obviously, as Greg will explain or could explain, it all there's several factors in there as far as credit, debt to income, all that stuff that I lean on the bankers for that. As I'm not a banker, that's a full-time job in itself and don't claim to be.
me either.
Well, yeah. I don't want your job either though, Ryan.
So it just helps them potentially get into a better house for, I want to say same monies, but it's not, it raises their buying power.
Right. So they get something of more value whereas you might have to buy a fixer upper under interest rates where they are right now, you could get something where you didn't have to put that kind of labor into it.
That's correct.
Get a better house. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that's what, with the housing market is, I guess as you get, older and you start getting into this stuff too, you realize how much it's really an indicator of everything in the economy.
100%. In my opinion, you're 100% right. The housing market dictates so much. It's crazy.
What is new housing like in Montana, Brian? I mean, in terms of, I don't mean like style wise or anything like that. I mean, but in terms of how much of it's being built right now.
You know, that's all kind of geographically different. Bozeman is booming, as you know. I'm seeing Bozeman, Missoula, Billings, probably the top three that I'm aware of in Montana that are exploding exponentially. From there, Helena is right in there. As far as price points go, you've got Bozeman probably being the highest. And in Southwest Montana right here, it goes Bozeman, Helena, and in Butte. So I'm seeing a lot of people getting priced out of the Bozeman market, moving to Helena or moving to Butte. They're getting more bang for their buck. Taxes, everything else aren't as drastic in these areas as what they're trying to keep up with as far as the growth goes in, say, Bozeman, so on and so forth. Because as the towns grow, we've got infrastructures, we've got everything else that need to come into play. So therefore, taxes go up and that costs more money on your payment, especially if you're financing something, because in that, generally speaking, in that payment to the mortgage company, that's principals, taxes, and insurance.
Tell me about it. Ours went up 53%. And I think most Montanans were pretty shocked by that, that whole changeover, because all of a sudden people like me have been moving here and they're bringing the property values up, and then the counties, everything gets straightened out in 1 year. I'm kind of like, why didn't you take this over a 3-year period or something? It's like, man, it's a lot for a lot of people, you know?
Well, yeah, I've had a couple of younger couples that were first time home buyers this year or last year that called me when those tax bills came out, and they're like, our taxes doubled. Our tax amount doubled, Greg. What do we do? it's a jagged little pill to swallow. I think, you know, Rick, to answer your question on what new construction is doing, I think my biggest concern for Helena specifically, but Butte too, is right now Helena is not building what I would consider to be first time home buyer homes at a rate that is keeping up with the amount of kids that are moving out of mom and dad's house and starting their own families. We're not keeping up with the organic growth in town. And then add to that, that we're seeing the growth coming in for, we got people that are moving here that are commuting to Bozeman every day from here. Or they're moving to Butte and commuting to Bozeman because of Bozeman prices. So, you know, when you're not keeping up with the organic growth in your area, and then you add that influx, and then we add the out-of-state influx, it's definitely created some inventory problems in the market. I think when the rates went up, we kind of started getting a leveling of people who were actually shopping to the inventory that's in the market. And I think now as rates continue to drop, we'll start seeing more people bringing houses on the market. So we'll continue to see that balancing of inventory to buyer, but we're still short. We're still short.
Absolutely. And that's the case even where we came from, Greg, in Washington and Oregon, both way behind in the inventory, especially where I lived in Oregon. They're 30 years behind planning for urban growth. Because they don't want to expand the urban growth boundary. Well, that doesn't mean people aren't going to keep moving there. and you can only build them on top of each other. Single family dwellings on top of each other just are kind of uncomfortable.
they call those apartment complexes.
Yeah. So Ryan, what is your biggest concern for as a Montanan longer than Greg and myself, with all of us coming here and moving in here, what are the warnings that you would have for people?
You know, as far as, I don't know about warnings, and to keep this as nice as I possibly can, a lot of folks are leaving the areas that they're leaving due to the rules, regulations, everything else that they have been put into place by a government, by voting, by everything else. You're leaving there for a reason. When you come to Montana, welcome to Montana. Don't bring that stuff with you.
Right. I get that.
I'm impressed, Ryan.
No, it's kind of like assimilate. You know, you come here because I think what ends up happening, especially we could talk about it because my show is called Get Real, so we should just be as real as possible. When you look at Bozeman, they call it Bos Angeles for a reason. Mm-hmm. A lot of Californians, God bless you all, have come here, and come here and bring your Gucci bags. That's fine, but the things that you voted for in California, don't bring that same thing here, because you're going to make this turn into the same place you left. We watched that happen in Oregon, and I'm not anti-Californian, but when Californians came to Oregon, they did the same thing, and all of a sudden they brought all these new rules and regulations that Oregonians weren't used to, and now they're moving on. And you know, I mean, I was told when I moved here that not to tell people right off the bat I was from Oregon, because Oregon's almost as bad as California, but I was told to tell people first, I'm not from California, and then I can say I'm from anywhere, and it was fine.
Ryan, Rick and I used to live in the same, well, almost in the same town. I lived in Springfield, and Rick lived in Eugene.
I actually lived in Springfield too, Greg.
Oh, did you? Okay, so
don't put me in Eugene.
Do you remember the big old sign, the big old billboard right there by the railroad tracks on Highway 26 as it crosses over between Springfield and Eugene? And for a long time there was a sign there that said "Don't Californicate Oregon."
Yeah.
And then that sign changed to the other side of the billboard as you're coming out of Springfield into Eugene that says "Welcome to Sodom and Taxmora."
Well, I saw one in Montana once, and it was on a meme or something. Don't Oregonize Montana, and I thought that was kind of an interesting. So the thing is, this is not an anti-California thing at all. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about, because the Oregonians could do the same thing. It's don't bring your
remember why you left.
Yeah, remember why you left, because when you come here and it sounds so good to stop the wolf, you know, all those stupid billboards about, you know, stop the wolf poaching. Well, instead of reading the billboard and going, oh, the poor little wolves, maybe do some research and find out why ranchers don't like them and why they're causing problems for them, you know.
Well, I think part of it is too, Rick, I'm not going to move to France or Germany. Okay, I've never moved to France, but I'm not going to move to France or Germany without learning to speak French or German, right?
Right.
You're going to assimilate into where you're going, and there's a reason you chose to come here, and hopefully your reason wasn't to change Montana.
Right. That's go ahead.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, I love to visit California. I retired from my first job in California. That being said, my first job, I was only in California for 1 week a year. That was it. But that just happened to be my last show was in California. Some of my best clients have been Californians. It has nothing to do with that. I just definitely, the people got to think, okay, we got out of where we left. And I hear it all the time, not only California, Florida, Texas, wherever. Right. They're saying we had to get out of there because of X, Y, and Z. Okay, just remember that. When you lay your head down on your pillow at night, remember why you left, and let's make sure that we do everything we can, whatever reason that was, not to let that influence Montanans or get into Montana, because it is eventually going to be the same issues.
Kathy and I, like, I think there's been one election, and we voted, there was some national stuff, and we voted on that, but we purposely didn't vote on anything in Montana because I wasn't informed. I was new and I didn't know, and I'm not going to vote for somebody and put the wrong person in there. So rather I just abstained. I've never done that. I've never not voted, you know, and it was kind of weird. We went to plus I love that you guys still do it at the ballot box. That was the best because Oregon's mail in for 25 years, and that's why they have one party and rule. But here it was so fun to go in and actually see people participating and feel like you're part of this civic process that goes on rather than, you know, oh, honey, how do you think I should vote on this? And slapping it in the mail and away it goes. So it was really nice. But we abstained from voting on stuff that we did not know anything about and didn't have time to research because I don't want to be that guy, you know. Now, having lived here 2 years, I'm very clear on what I'm voting for and what I'm not voting for. Well, okay, so to wrap this up, we can expect probably better interest rates next year for home buyers. The big hole is still affordable housing, like it is all over the country.
Correct.
And new construction to get all these families in. You guys would probably be interested in this. I went to this meeting here in Townsend a while back, and they were talking about one of the big problems with housing is that senior citizens normally will move out of their homes and into a different situation. And that's not happening because they can't afford to move out of their homes into a different situation. So then you don't have, my first home was a 1100 square foot ranch style house built in, you know, in 1960 something. And you don't have those houses coming on the market because nobody's filtering out. So this was a meeting about how they need to build some affordable housing for senior citizens in little communities so they can move out and open up those houses in town to the families so the process could kind of move through. And I thought, that is so interesting.
There's another facet to that, Rick, and that is during the dark times, a lot of the COVID outbreak started in senior centers. And so particularly in Oregon and Washington, a lot of the seniors were like, well, we talked about moving to a retirement condo or something like that, or into a retirement home, but we ain't going to do it now because we're not taking the risk of being exposed to COVID. And so there was this almost a two-year freeze of seniors not selling houses and moving into retirement communities.
So, Greg, how do people, I'm going to put your, I don't have the one with your address, but how do people get in touch with you if they're looking for a loan? And you're dealing with people like from Oregon and Washington who are moving to Montana or back and forth.
So if you're moving to Montana from Oregon or Washington, you have to have a loan officer that's licensed in both your home state and Montana. That's an Oregon and a Washington law. I'm licensed in all three. The easy way to get a hold of me, is hinklelendingteam.com. Or you can, of course, just you can call my desk, 406-439-LOAN-5626.
Okay. And Ryan, you're Keller Williams out of Butte. How do people get a hold of you if they're looking? And you do not just Butte. You can handle all Southwest, which is a lot.
I can handle all of Montana. I'm licensed throughout the state of Montana. My general area is Southwest Montana. And I know that's kind of vague, but if in fact someone were to call me and it's outside of my comfort zone, I would refer to off, do some research and find our best Keller Williams agent in the area of where they're wanting to go and lead them to that. I'm very open and honest. I'm not pushy. It's not something, if it's out of my comfort zone or out of my boundaries, then I will definitely hand it off to someone that would supply them and treat them just as well. And yes, so we're out of Butte, Montana. We're Copper City, Keller Williams. And my phone number is 406-465-0500.
About a year ago, I did an interview with some historians there in Butte. We did a whole series of stuff on Butte, and they were super nice guys. We met them they said, you meet us at the distillery. You know, so we went down after a couple of drinks, you're really into history, you know? And the guy says, one of the funniest things he says, he goes, you know, we're not Republicans and Democrats, we're Americans. And he said, you know, and I said, so what's Butte all about? And he goes, you know, Rick, we're survivors. He goes, we have the largest Superfund cleanup site in the world. And what we did is rather than let us take us down, we charge $2 and people pay us to go look at the Superfund cleanup site. I said, you know, I said, that's Butte, Montana.
Rick, there was a movie that was done on public broadcasting called Butte America. if you haven't seen it, it is well worth the watch. You want to talk about a community of, I mean, think about some of the, what we saw on the West Coast, Aberdeen, Washington, some of those areas during the flux of the timber industry. You think about Gaston and Forks. Butte, those, what we saw in the timber industry can't hold a candle to what Butte has seen over its history. Right. And I was just shocked as I watched this about how resilient this community has been.
Yeah. You know, Butte's a great town. It's very welcoming. It's a lot of a blue collar town. But that being said, everybody's open. There's so much to do in Butte or around Butte, from the local shops. We don't have much as far as large shopping, but we got local. You can go 5 minutes in any direction in town and be in the mountains or at a lake or anything else. I'm an avid hunter and fisherman. I got one of my biggest bull elk with my, during archery season, probably 10 minutes from town, in the mountains. So,
and it's so beautiful. When you come in from I-90 from the west, and mm-hmm. you come in and you start seeing Butte on the hill, it's just and then you see the, you know, the Mary, whatever her real yep. name is, the lady on the hill, you know.
Lady of the Rockies.
Yep, it's such a great little place to stop in, and I will attest to it too. One of the friendliest places we've been in Montana. I mean, people were genuine and real, and you know, it wasn't. There's not a lot of bullshit in Butte, Montana.
There's not, and you know, when I say it's blue collar, it used to be a lot rougher and very protective of Buttes. It's still very protective of its own community here, but people are warm. They're welcoming. Like I say, I'll tell everybody on here, we're at 1815 Harrison Avenue. Anybody that's listening to this and wants to stop in and say hi, I'm welcome for them to come in.
We can have and if you guys, spots always on at Ryan's.
And if you guys want, if you guys think Butte, Montana is like some backwards place, go there on St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
It's a freaking hoot. And I did a live with them the first year I was here, and the guy comes on, and then St. Patty was there, and he was some drunk guy, you know, painted all green and everything. And he comes up and goes, "I'm St. Patrick." And I said, "The real thing?" And he's like, "Yes." And I went, "Oh my God, I love this town."
We double in size, I would say, at least on St. Patty's Day.
Oh, and as long as we're getting way off course, but who cares? What, as long as we're touting you guys, your folk festival is unbelievable.
Folk festival, for a long time, we had Evel Knievel days. Evel Knievel was born and raised here. So
you know what? Evel Knievel's niece was my pastor's wife in Oregon.
Gotcha.
Her married name, her maiden name was Knievel. Yep. And it was like, and I thought that was so weird. Like, how would you, which your relatives are, you know, crazy.
Well, and then we also got Tom O'Neill that's from here, from SEAL Team 6.
See, all you got there in Helena, Greg, that I know of is Myrna Loy. The actress, she's from there. But you know what I heard? An interesting fact the other day on Helena. In the 1870s, don't hold me to that, but it was sometimes in the late 1800s, there were more millionaires in Helena, Montana, than any other place in the country.
So have you been
Helena,
to Montana?
Montana.
The street from my office?
Outstanding. Yeah, it's a cool place.
Okay, so when that opened in, I want to say it was 1807.
Why do you say seven like that? Why do you say seven?
I was just trying to think of the date that it was on. I'm thinking of the date on the plaque out front.
I'm pointing out your old age.
We have two good brain cells are fighting.
Wow.
Okay, we're past the realtor talk. Now we're into smack.
Yeah. To join, you had to have a net worth of $1 million. And the first year they opened, they had 300 members.
Wow. Well, you drive around up in the homes behind the Civic Center up there on the hill, and there's some beautiful
places. On the
Mansion
District?
Yep. Yeah. And it's just like, but Butte, the same thing is. But let me tell real quick about the Folk Festival for people that are looking. Look up the Folk Festival, because Butte is built on a hill, and it's a hill. I mean, if you wouldn't have to have a gym, although they do have a very nice gym in Butte, Montana. I've been there.
Several. Yep.
You got streets, and what they do is all over town is different stages with different performers, from gospel to hillbilly stuff, and people from France that sing, you know, folk music. And you can go from venue to venue and just kind of hop around. It was my wife and I were like, we got to go back and stay, because we just went for the day, but we stayed the whole entire day. And it was like, it was so good. And it was like, I think people should look that up. I know it sells out really fast, but I'll tell you what. And then you get a workout going to each stage, because you're going up the street and down the street and up the street and down the street. It's a good thing.
It's an amazing, the community comes together great to put everything on. You know, like we've got several different festivals throughout the year, from Evel Knievel Days, which has been on hold a little bit. And then we've got St. Paddy's Day, we've got Folk Fest, along with several other ones that has just been amazing. The whole town comes together to put them things on. You know, especially after St. Paddy's Day, it's funny because there's so many people in St. Paddy's during St. Paddy's Day that the streets are packed. And there's beer cans everywhere. You walk down the street in the morning, everything's cleaned. There's not a beer can run on the ground. The community comes together, everything's cleaned. It's back to normal. Shops are up and running. It's an amazing little feat. I did hear one time, and I don't know how true exactly this is, but for a while, from what I've been told, is Butte St. Patrick's Day was one of the biggest in the U.S., beating Boston.
Huh. So that wouldn't surprise me at all, because, you know, everybody comes from all over the place to be there. Yep. And it's still raw. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's we got all the head frames all over town. I think there's close to 10,000 miles of tunnels underneath Butte from all the mining on different shifts and everything else. So it's neat. You can't just stay for the party. Obviously, stay for the party for the day, but then spend a couple days here and learn the history of Butte and go around to these head frames and do tours of Butte. They've got underground tours.
I did the underground. It was so cool. Way down in the mines down there.
Yeah.
Had no idea so many people died in accidents and stuff there. So very dangerous business. So that's probably why diversity is not like a big deal in Butte, Montana. It's just part of the culture and the fabric of who you are. It's always been that way.
One other thing that a lot of people, I don't know how to explain it, but if somebody's family's in need in this community, Butte comes together. You'd be amazed on how many fundraisers are in town. You know, Joe Smith's son's daughter's niece is sick and we're doing a fundraiser for them. Well, there'll be 2,000 people packed into a small bar or a small establishment doing a fundraiser, silent auctions, live auctions, whatever. It's an amazing town.
Well, it wasn't really the plan to do like a promotional piece for Butte, Montana, but what the hell? It's, you know what I mean? It's nice to have you on and talk about that too, because I think people don't have the right idea. And that's one of the places when people come to like towns and they'll say to me, so where should we go visit? You know, and I'm going, you know, well, you got to go check out Helena and you got to go, but you have to go to Butte because it's just such a rugged, interesting place to visit. So, well, Brian, thanks.
I think, Rick, one of the things is that we joke about it in the real estate industry. We call it the Yellowstone effect. You know, everybody thinks that Montana is what they saw in Yellowstone.
Well, it's not.
It's not. It's not.
I saw Kevin just the other day.
We don't have shootouts in the street. And we don't manipulate government officials. And, you know, I think that's one of the things I realize is that one of the things I absolutely love about being able to serve Helena and Butte are the two main areas I service is Helena and Butte. And of course, those surrounding areas, Anaconda, Deer Lodge, that kind of area. I just love the fact that I can walk up the street and people say hi to you. You walk up the street and people say, good morning, how are you? And it's normal. It's normal to stop and talk to a stranger.
Right.
You wave to everyone that drives by. I mean,
yeah. And there's different waves, like two fingers mean one thing, one finger. This one means the same thing everywhere, but the other tones are a little different. You have to learn, and don't do this one if you don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for joining us. And
thank you. It was a pleasure to be on with you.
Yeah. And Greg, thank you again for sponsoring everything and giving us input and all that kind of stuff. And I got one more thing. You guys don't have to stick around. We've got one more thing to show you guys. Montana or Oral Surgeons and Implant Center. I'm talking about their insurance and how they do it. It's very interesting. And just a quick little clip. You guys, what you can do for us is share this on your page so other people see that, especially if you're in Montana. Oregonians, the information we gave here, it's going to be the same in Oregon, basically, except for the Butte, Montana stuff. But everything else will be the same kind of information because this is happening all over our country.
Well, so, if you come to town and visit, stop in and say hi to us.
Yeah, no, you can.
And there's we'll always beer on hand. There's coffee in the coffee pot. We're good.
All right. And we'll tell you where the places are where people will call you hun and tell you what not to eat on their own menu. All right. Thanks, you guys.
That position where you go to the doctor's office and you need something done that is life-changing for you and you have no idea what it's going to cost and you don't get a bill till afterwards and it's always shocking and you had no idea what it was going to cost you. We definitely don't want to do that to our patients here. We want to give them the information upfront ahead of time so that they are aware of what the estimate that their insurance is going to be paying and the estimate that they're going to be paying out of pocket is so that there's no surprises. Obviously, things can change, especially with surgery. It doesn't happen often, but when we're in there, things can come up that can change that out of pocket. We do sedate our patients, so we don't collect any additional funds or anything after the surgery. That's why it's so important for us to have that estimated out of pocket beforehand, because we don't want to have to send you a bill in the mail like a lot of other places do. Oral surgery is pretty anxiety inducing for the majority of people. So to be able to check that off their list of one more thing that they don't have to worry about really does help calm their nerves and just makes the whole process seem that much easier. I think it's important to people because everybody wants to be able to plan for what they have going on in their life and their financial decisions and not have something come completely out of the blue that they might not be able to afford.